For this Sunday and the next two Sundays, our series is The Suffering Servant. And it's based on some poems that we find in the book of Isaiah. Poems that had to do with a suffering servant. Someone who would come and through his sufferings bring redemption to Israel. And of course, we've come to know that this suffering servant is Jesus. And the message, of course, today is because he is a servant of mercy, we are all called to be servants of mercy ourselves. But this is part of one of the poems in Luke's Gospel, the 42nd chapter. I'm just going to do the first three verses. And God says, "Behold, this is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my spirit delights. I have put my spirit in him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly burning wick he will not quench." This is the word of God for the people of God. That's the picture of the servant of mercy in Isaiah. And now Jesus is going to tell us about an example of someone who had a ministry of mercy. And it's from Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. "Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he said, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What do you read there?' He answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live.' But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw the man, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' And he said to him, 'Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?' He said, 'The one who showed him mercy.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go and do likewise.'" And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Jesus is a servant of ministry. All during his ministry, he shared mercy with people. Now, there's basically two definitions of mercy. Two different definitions of mercy, but we all understand them. First of all, mercy can be refraining from causing harm or offering pardon or deliverance from judgment. Or mercy can also be unexpected kindness offered to those in need, offering aid and help to persons in need, offering relief to those who suffer. And we see that Jesus did that. Jesus gave mercy. And because Jesus was a servant of mercy, going to the cross to die for us and rise again that we might be forgiven and released of judgment, because he was a servant of mercy, we have all now been called to be servants of mercy in his name. You and me and this whole church is to have a ministry of mercy to others in need. And this parable that Jesus shares with us, the parable of the Good Samaritan, gives us a good illustration of what it means to have a ministry of mercy. Now, in this parable, we see three different responses to persons who are in need. The first response is from the priest, and that response is, "I keep my distance." In other words, I don't want to know about their needs. The second response is, "I am curious but uninvolved," and that is the Levite. You know, it's sort of like you're going down a road and you see there's an accident and everybody slows up because they're curious. They want to see, but they're really not going to stop. Hopefully help has already come. But do you see what I'm talking about? The second response of the Levite was he was curious, but he was uninvolved. And then there is the third response by the Samaritan, the one you'd least expect. And that response was, "I get close enough to care." I get close enough to care. Those are the three responses. And now I want to share with you something of what the Good Samaritan did. Four steps to showing mercy to those in need. You might want to call these the four S's because they each start with an S. The first one is called see who are hurting. The ministry of mercy begins with our eyes. We need to be able to recognize those around us who are in need. And the primary obstacle to being able to recognize those around us who are in need is busyness. We are busy, we are going on our way, and we so often do not see the people around us who are hurting. Now, hurting people don't necessarily have outward scars and wounds. They can be people who have severe wounds and scars on the inside. But every day we come into contact with people who have needs and hurts and scars and wounds. And the primary obstacle of being able to recognize the many needs around us is perhaps busyness. But the ministry of mercy begins with the eyes when we see. So slow down. Slow down and pay attention to what you may recognize. The second step, of course, begins with an S, and it is sympathize with those in pain. If the ministry of mercy begins with our eyes, it continues with our ears. You know, you've heard the ministry of laying on of hands, praying for the sick. Well, there is a ministry of laying on the ears. Do you know how valuable it is sometimes just to listen to another person and to hear their story? And so in the parable here, it says that the Good Samaritan saw the man and was moved with pity. He was filled with compassion because he came close. And so the ministry of the ears is just simply listening and hearing someone's story. And when is it that we most identify with other people? When we hear their story. When we know about their pain. When we know about their hurt. And so the ministry of mercy begins with the eyes, continues with the ears. And then the third S is seize the moment and meet the need. Seize the moment and meet the need. And that's what the Good Samaritan did, because in the story it says he went to the man. He seized the moment, went to the man, bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Now that moment could have easily have passed, And he could have easily justified not stopping. And I know we can't stop and do this for everyone. We'll probably never get through the day. But what we're talking about, though, is developing a ministry of mercy and how we can take steps. And this third step is that sooner or later we need to recognize that this is a need that needs to be met now. And if not by me, by who? And you see, so often, you know how ministry comes to me? I can sit down and I can plan my day. I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that. I've got to do all these things. These are reports. These are other things. I have interruptions. And what Jesus has taught me to see is so often these interruptions in my life are opportunities of ministry to seize. Someone calls, I choose to answer the phone, and I recognize I need to stop what I'm doing and seize the need. Now, so often Jesus was interrupted, and Jesus never said, excuse me, I have a schedule to keep. No, he never did. He allowed himself to be interrupted and gave himself the opportunity to seize the need to share mercy. So we need to seize the moment. The fourth S, and this is so very important. The fourth S is spend whatever it takes. You see, because showing kindness is going to cost you something. It's going to cost your time. It's going to cost your attention. And when you show mercy, usually is some sort of practical help is involved. So it's going to cost you doing some things. And then in this story, we see that the man took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Well, in this case, it also costs money. But we know this, it will always cost us something. And what we do in ministries of mercy is we spend whatever it takes. Now, obviously, when we talk about ministries of mercy, we're better together than by ourselves. And that's why the church is the body of Christ doing the work of Christ of mercy together. Because we can do more together. But each of us is to have a ministry of mercy, and we are to participate in the ministry of mercy church. Now, here's the thing about mercy. And this is what I was getting at with the apples and the oranges. Mercy does not discriminate. Mercy doesn't care who you are, where you're from, what you think or believe, or what you have done. Mercy does not discriminate. And so, mercy, to me, is the number one characteristic of a Christian. The capacity to share with all persons and to minister to their needs. The application for today's message is very simple. When we think about, okay, so we are called to have a ministry of mercy. How can I apply this to my life? Well, this is a simple little thing to think of. A good example of something that I'm going to do myself. Number one, begin each day with a prayer. Lord, open my eyes to see someone who is in need today that you want me to show kindness to. So begin the day with the prayer. Lord, open my eyes to see someone who is in need today that you want me to show kindness to. Now, we don't know who that may be. And so often these opportunities come, like I said, through interruptions. They're unplanned. The second thing to do is this. Begin each week by intentionally planning some act of kindness to someone that you know is hurting. You see, the first one, we just want to be open to whoever we may meet crossing our path that we can show kindness to. The second one is we need to think intentionally, who are the persons that we want to be able to express an act of kindness to? And then the third one, this involves a little bit more work, but if you know, if you want to grow, you got to dig deeper. You know, if you want to know, you got to study, and if you study, then you got to apply it. Keep a journal, and in your journal, just write at the top: William, servant of mercy; Jamie, servant of mercy; Polly, servant of mercy; Jan, servant of mercy. Because that's who you are, right up at the top. And then write down your experiences. Your experiences at the end of the week. You might want to write down, hey, you know, this kind of happened. I'm just going to write that down so I can remember it. And then I want you to think a little bit about, what did you learn about mercy? And think about how you have grown. You see, bestowing mercy, John Wesley said, is a means of grace. It is the means by which we grow and become more like Jesus. It is the way in which we place ourselves in the line of God's grace. Even though we are helping others, we are also receiving. And so write down in your journal what you are receiving. You know, I'll never forget this opportunity. I was at Chatham Creek Nursing Home. It keeps changing names. I don't know what it is now. And I was to see a certain lady that I visited on a regular basis. And this particular lady liked banana sandwiches. And she liked them with, what's that kind of mayonnaise? Is it Duke's? She liked it with Duke's mayonnaise. She said, if you bring me a banana sandwich, I'm not going to eat it if it's not Duke's mayonnaise. So I said, you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to do an act of kindness. I'm going to make her a banana sandwich, and I'm going to put Duke's mayonnaise on it. I'm going to make that sandwich up, put it in a little baggie. I'm going to take it to her, and I'm going to say, I got it for you. And I did that. And I took my guitar with me. I did. And I played a little song. And about that time that I was finishing my song, this other person who was there in the nursing home walked by and looked in. And something told me, I believe he wants to talk to me. And so I just said what came to my mind first. I said, sir, do you play the guitar? And he nodded his head. Mm-hmm. I said, well, come on in here. Would you like to play me a song? And played the guitar in a long time. Yeah. No better time to start again than today. And I said, hey, you know, it's not going to hurt anything. Here, take my guitar. I took my guitar. I'll hold you in my heart till I can hold you in my arms. Darling, please wait for me. When he got through with that song, I went, who are you? He told me his name. And I said, not only can you play, you got a gift. He says, I haven't played in a long time. I said, well, when you played, who did you play with? He said, there was a group that traveled around with Roy Rogers. And what was the name of Roy Rogers' group? Something or another of the trail. He said, we would perform before Roy Rogers and his group. And we would travel around. I said, no kidding. So then I told the lady, I'll see you next week. And I said, went down to his room, and hey, you know, she got her sandwich, you know, she got her sandwich. So I'm down at this man's room, and he's opening up his scrapbook, and there's Roy Rogers, and there's all these people, and I'm going, man, this is something, and I'm going, man, this is great. And then I thought, hey, you know what? I'd like to learn that song. He said, well, it's a simple song. I said, well, you're going to have to write it down because it's hard for me to learn things. I had to go over it and go over it and go over it. I still have to this day that piece of paper. This was back in 1995 or 6. Still have that piece of paper with the words and the chords written above them. and I learned that song. And the story's not finished. Do you see that in showing that act of kindness, I brought something home that day I had not anticipated? A great blessing. God took that act of kindness and multiplied it. The next time I went back to the nursing home, I went by his room, he played another song. He played another song and he played another song. And then I said, what brought you here? He said, well, you know, I kind of had a stroke and my wife had a hard time a little bit taking care of me and I wound down here. And I said, I never want to go to a nursing home. I was mad as heck and I'm down here. I'm from Sanford. I said, well, okay. And then he said, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to see if I can get my band up together and we're going to give a concert here. I said, wow, that'd be great. He called his wife up. They contacted some of his friends. They came down. They played a little concert at the nursing home. I missed it. I'm sorry I missed it. I heard it was great. I went back to see the man, and he wasn't there. And I said, what happened to so-and-so, so-and-so? And they said, you know what happened to him? His wife looked at him and said, honey, you don't need to be here. You're your old self again. He went home. He went home and lived the rest of his life not even having to come back to Chatham Creek again. You never know what that little bit of kindness may mean to another person and how God can multiply that kindness and cause it to come back to you and to spread and to go to Lord knows only where. And so I want to share with you today that it's worth keeping a journal so you can capture these kinds of stories. Let us stand for prayer.